Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, the dumb. Good Monday to you. A whole weekend of trying to figure out what was good, what was bad, what was dumb. I'm sure there's a ton of stuff to get to. Let's get to the good of the day, Ron Culver.
You know what the problem was? I had a whole weekend to find out what was the good of the weekend, and I came up with two.
Okay, two goods.
I came up with two. Couldn't help it.
Here we go.
The first one, you've never heard of this guy. I'm going to hopefully not butcher his name too much. Pelle Ruddock Umpansu.
All right, very good.
Okay.
Good effort, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he plays for Luttontown. I don't know if it's Luttontown or
what does he play?
Soccer.
Okay.
And Luttontown is a team that just got promoted into the English Premier League. They played their first set of matches this weekend.
Okay.
He has officially became the first player to go from non-league football to the Premier League with the same club.
Okay.
So the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I find it remarkable that he's 29 years old. He started out with Luttontown, who when he joined the team, was Wrexham, in the Wrexham League, basically.
No, so they weren't Wrexham, but they were...
No, they weren't Wrexham, but okay. They were in the
equivalent. Rephrase that for a second. Yeah. They were in that same level.
I think it's called National League. I think that's what they call it. Not to be confused with our baseball, but they call it National League. Whatever division Wrexham was in where it's more semi-pro than professional. Even though you're paying players, but you're not really paying... I mean, it's that weird thing.
Let me try to follow you for a minute.
Go ahead.
Right here. So when he started, they were a bottom... level team.
Right.
He hangs with the organization
for
years and years and years.
Yes.
When he finally gets moved into he's with the same team, but now they're a Premier League team.
Yeah.
So he's been playing for them this whole time.
So
it's not like a call up like from the Redbirds to the Cardinals.
No.
He's on the team, but the team has developed into a Premier League team, but he is the first one to go from where they used to be to the Premier League. And stay with that team the full season.
Correct.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Okay, good for him. That's awesome. That's great.
9 years of soccer.
That's awesome.
And he probably got other offers to go here, go there, and he never wavered. He just stuck with the same team.
So just to be equivalent, it would be like if you played for the Toledo Mudhens, and one day the Toledo Mudhens were playing in the NL Central.
Correct.
Right. Very
if
cool.
That team moved up. Yeah, not
right.
not you.
Not the Detroit. Not you moving to Detroit. That organization in that stadium in that town all of a sudden became competing with the Cincinnati Reds and the Milwaukee Brewers.
I know it's been an argument we've had a talk that we've had, but that would be so fascinating to have like promotion and relegation.
Yeah. I would like it. I the more I think about it, I like it. But I wondered if I think you and I talked about this before. Is it because it's been so institutionalized, no one knows any other way of doing it? Because I think it would be impossible to tell, like, Josh Harris, who just spent $6 billion on the Washington Commanders, hey, one day you're going to play in a minor league NFL system because you're not good enough. It's like, oh, no. I have $6 billion invested in this. I'm not playing in a minor league thing.
Yeah, when you would have to get rid of salary cap and things like that.
Right.
You know, you'd have to do that at that point because, I mean, there is no such thing in the English Premier League. They just... You know, the bigger teams buy the best players.
Yeah,
and it's always the same teams that are flirting with relegation. It's always, you know, it almost feels like Luttontown is a new one that hasn't had this experience. But there's probably like eight teams, I would say, in the English soccer, you know, whether it's Premier League, whether it's Championship, that kind of just swap places year after year.
Yeah, yeah. I think when like Rob Reynolds and McElhinney bought the Wrexham team, like they knew the system they were buying into.
Yeah.
Right, so you'd have to be like, starting in 2050, we're going to have this new system.
Whereas Tom Brady's cheating because he just went ahead and said, like, oh, I'm already going to buy it. I'm going to be a minority owner with the team that's already there.
Yeah. After all of these owners pass away, we will then institute a system of, probably going to have to do it that way. All right, what's the second good?
The second good is Chargers rookie. I don't know if you saw this story. I don't care. I'm bringing up a Chargers stat right here. But Chargers rookie defensive lineman C.J. Okoye recorded a sacking Stetson Bennett this past weekend.
Oh, yeah. So, Stetson Bennett got some playing time for the Rams.
Yeah, but do you want to know why that's amazing?
Because he played for TCU and didn't get to him when he played for played for Georgia?
This is his first ever football game.
Whoa! How do you get to a point where you're sacking Stetson Bennett in your first ever football game?
There is an outreach program spearheaded by Usi Umenora. I hope I'm saying that right. It's been a while since I've had to say his name. Who is an outreach program finding untapped talent across the globe. And, you know, he mainly targeting Africa. And they brought over six players from Nigeria.
Players of what?
Not players, people.
People, okay.
You know, people who showed, I guess, athletic promise. I don't know how this whole thing, I'm kind of curious about this now. But this is his first organized football game ever, and he sacked Stetson Bennett.
That's incredible. That's an incredible story.
Yeah.
Like, so there are guys out there that played in Pop Warner, junior high, high school, major college, that are like bouncing around trying to get an NFL team to notice them. And this guy is like, yeah, they're like, we think he's athletic enough to do this. This is what you do. And he went out and sacked Stetson Bennett.
I mean, the only thing I can find like an equivalent of is like when the Jets or the Giants signed Tony Meola.
I remember that. Yeah.
US soccer kick.
Yeah. To kick the ball.
To punt. I mean, yeah. Like, you know, he had no business punting. He was like, hey, you got some clout right now because you were just in the World Cup, and let's put a helmet on you.
Is this anything like a $1 million arm? Like when they went to India and they found those kids?
Maybe.
A little bit. And then Tom House worked with them and they got like minor league contracts. They didn't make it, but they at least got to be ball players in America.
I know. But it's the first ever game.
That is, what a great story. That's awesome. You think he's got a chance of making the team? Was anybody buzzing about his chances of cracking the 53?
See, I mean, you know, maybe not as a starter, but I almost say you got to bring him on.
Yeah, well, as we hear every year, it's a numbers game.
Yeah,
but
I
mean, is maybe practice squad until something pops up.
Yeah, probably practice squad. I mean, the guy, you know, he's probably still
barely learned stance.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He probably doesn't even know the 3-point stance yet.
Yeah, I was going to say how to read blockers and what they're going to do. That's great. Just went, here we go. That's good. Good. That's good. All right. So do we want to do bad now and then we'll just carry it over?
Yeah, the bad's kind of fun.
Okay.
There's a guy, Clemson fan who is, how do I put this? He feels Ohio State is spying on not only SEC, but ACC football.
So Ohio State is spying
Ohio State.
Okay, and why is Ohio State doing
that? The way that they are doing it is via the Goodyear blimp.
Via the Goodyear blimp. So he thinks Ohio State.
Because I guess I didn't really realize this. There's a traditional rivalry between Clemson and Ohio State now.
Right?
Right. Did you ever know that? According to him, there's a rivalry between the two teams. Because, you know, they've met five times in their existence. The first being like in the late 70s, but four times in 2014 and all in the college football playoffs. Clemson has usually won, but the last time they met, Ohio State shellacked them.
Okay.
So now he feels that Ohio State is spying on SEC and ACC teams using the Goodyear blimp because a lot of the upper management of Goodyear, they all went to Ohio schools.
Of course. You know what? That totally makes sense, right? That totally makes sense. So what he's saying is that the tire companies are all run by Ohio people.
Right.
And so there's a rivalry where...
And it doesn't matter what school you go to in Ohio. You all root for Ohio State, no matter what school
you go
to.
That's right. It doesn't matter. So
you go to
Youngstown University,
you root for Ohio State.
So they're sending the blimp above ACC schools just to see like what Virginia might run in case Virginia makes a run at a national championship.
Right.
And maybe they'll go down and see how like North Carolina State is running their offense. And then Clemson, of course, but they're spreading out the love. Like here's a little trip to Wake Forest. Here's maybe go down to Tallahassee a little bit. Boogie on over to Durham and the Triangle. Don't have to go that far. You get three teams in one. Like, is that what that's what he's thinking?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Because, great. I mean, you know, also the fact, too, that, you know, he also pointed out that Ohio State should not have won the game against Clemson in the college football playoff because it was that COVID year and Ohio State only played six games.
Oh,
that's right. So it's almost an illegal victory on Ohio State's part
anyways.
Right.
That's right. That was the year the Big Ten canceled the season, and then everybody else was like, well, we'll play. And then they went, yeah, I guess we'll play, but we're only going to do it this in this way.
And then the Pac-12's like, oh, yeah, us too.
Yeah, us too. Sorry. Did we follow the wrong horse in this, this deal?
So really, I think what the bad is, I miss college football. I'm so
I miss the insanity.
I miss this part of it where, the Goodyear blew spine on this kid.
You hear that stuff all the time, man. People still like, remember 1997? No, I don't. No, remember holding call. Remember third play of the game? A holding call that set us back.
Yeah, in fact, this is
what?
It's just something funny. He says, a buddy of mine saw the Goodyear blimp. Do you think it's spying on all the, you know, Southeast in the fall and to spy on ACC and SEC football practices? That's what the Goodyear blimp's doing. Spying.
In case. All right, we'll come back. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we are continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. So we've got the two goods out of the way. We got the bad out of the way. Let's get to the dumb of the day as we continue along on Sports Map Radio.
All right, honestly, the dumb of the day, it's got to be on me.
It got to be on you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Cardinals pitcher Adam Wainwright. I've always hated his last name. Waino, let's just say that. He's having a horrible season for the Cardinals. And the Cardinals actually have a legit decision that they may need to make about whether to keep playing him or not. In 15 games, he has an ERA over 8. He's only had 39 strikeouts on the season. I mean, all that is really bad, but where the dumb comes into this, I thought he retired last year.
He came back. I thought he did too. I thought it was him and Yadier Molina were going to be done together.
Well, that, but also remember they had the walk off with Albert Pujols?
Yeah, right.
They all walked off the field together. It's like three Cardinal legends walking into the sunset.
I think in the offseason he decided he was coming back, but there was a moment.
And
you are 100% right.
I must have missed that story because when I read this story, I was like, wait, did they have the right guy? Is there a different Adam Wainwright? Who was it that retired? Maybe it wasn't
that
Adam
would have
Wainwright.
Been, that would have been amazing if they replaced one Adam Wainwright with another Adam Wainwright. Yeah.
What are the chances?
Man, worked for us well the first time. Let's see if we can roll with this again.
Yeah.
Got to
go find us another Yadier Molina.
How old is he? Like 42?
I don't know.
He's got to be. I feel like I've been pitching forever.
That was the dumb. The dumb is me because I thought for sure he was gone.
Was he trying to be on a Cardinals team that had a chance to win the World Series? Because that team is in last place now. They made the playoffs last year. They lost to, if not mistaken, I think the Padres. Who did they lose to last year? They won the division. They lose to the Dodgers?
I think they lost to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think they lost to the Dodgers.
But the division wasn't that good.
No. Like,
I don't think they won by a lot.
No. They ended up, they made the playoffs, lost to the Dodgers, and now he's, I'm looking him up, he's 41. He's going to be 42 at the end of the month.
There you go.
Adam Wainwright. So, yeah, all right. Well,
yeah, they were 93 and 69. I guess that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's not bad.
I guess that's something.
Give him 90 wins. That's pretty good.
No, Cardinals lost to Philadelphia, the Phillies.
They lost to the Phillies.
Yeah.
All right, so, yeah, they lost they're not very good.
But yeah, I thought. So, I mean, I was shocked when I saw that headline because I thought for sure I was like, I thought he retired.
Oh, I like those moments. It happens to me a lot. It happens to me in the NBA a lot. I always watch a player and I go, wait, hold on, I thought he was gone. I guess he found a 1-year contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder and I totally forgot about it. Something like that.
I wonder how he was able to talk the Cardinals into signing him again.
Yeah, one more
bringing
year,
bringing him back.
Like, you really want to do this? Yep. I want to come back one more year. All right, fine. All right, let's go. Let's check it out.
I was shocked.
I wouldn't say that's a dumb. You know, some there are probably a lot of people out there that didn't know Adam Wainwright was pitching this year for a last place team.
I mean, I remember we talked about this because I think I brought it up as a good.
Yeah,
was the three of them. The three of them walking off. It was like, you know, those three have a lot of history together, especially Molina and Wainwright, and this made all the sense in the world for them to, you know, cruise together and quit together. And that's why I was like blown away when I saw the article that the Cardinals may have a decision to make on Adam Wainwright. And I was like, I thought that was already made.
Remember the Cardinals last year? Remember they had Pujols chasing 700 home runs? Remember that?
Yes.
That was like a really cool part of the end of the line.
Well,
was
not that only that, but also Wainwright and Molina broke a record together.
That's right. The battery mates. Yeah. So yeah. So they were like, let's all leave together and it'd be great.
Yeah. And it was, you know, one of those ceremonial things where the three of them walked off the field at the same time. And
yeah,
Adam, you should have just stayed right there, man. You should have just left it all behind. Because, yeah, his stats this season are terrible. I mean, I'm not even saying just by his standards. I mean, he's 3-7 on the season, 15 starts. But like I said, I mean, he only has 39 strikeouts on the year.
Yeah.
In 15 starts. And his ERA is almost 9.
All right. So, well
almost
congratulations,
nine.
Adam Wainwright. Staking around Major League Baseball. Speaking of Major League Baseball, Kevin Brown is returning to the airways. Did he return this weekend?
Yeah, yeah. He was supposed to return on Friday, and he sent out a public statement saying, you know, don't beat on the Orioles too much, and you know, all the things that you're supposed to say about your employer that he probably doesn't believe.
Yeah, that's probably livid at them.
Oh,
and he doesn't want to say anything. So.
I have to believe that if any team, and I mean any team, calls him, he's gone.
Yeah, John Miller had the same problem with the Orioles. He called Orioles games, and he had the same problem with them.
And then left for the Giants.
And he left for the Giants. Yeah, but he's the same problem. It's like the organization is very sensitive, and you better be careful of how you say things about them. Don't put them in a bad light. And
this was overboard because
this
I mean, he was just reading facts.
Yeah, they made a graphic for it.
Yeah.
Which he was reading it off the graphic. But you know what he was doing, which I thought was great, was he was saying, look, we haven't been very good against this team, but now we're really good against this team.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, like it's really good. Like now we've turned the page.
I mean, if you really look at it, he's promoting the Orioles up because the Rays have been the dominant team in the East for years.
Yeah.
And now the Orioles are right there with them and have a chance to pass them.
This really has raised the guy's profile, though. I didn't even know he was Orioles announcer.
Well,
until
when I first saw the name,
I'm pretty connected to the business, and I didn't know who he was.
Wasn't there a pitcher named Kevin Brown? Because that's who
I think he threw a perfect game. That's funny that you mentioned that. I thought so too. I think Kevin Brown has not a perfect game. No hitter. I think he has a no hitter in his record, but I'll have to check that. But no, there was a pitcher named Kevin Brown.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, and I thought he was too. I thought when they suspended him, I thought, oh, former pitcher Kevin Brown got an analyst job and probably did what a lot of analysts do, run their mouth because they're not trained journalists, right? Where you go, I know how to control myself, I know how to say the right things, I know how to put things in perspective, whatever. Some analysts just get, you know, diarrhea of the mouth. The next thing you know, they're like, golly, turn that guy's mic off. And that's what I thought the story was.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, too.
Former player.
He's a six-time MLB All-Star and threw a no-hitter in 97.
That's right. Yeah, okay. So, all right.
He played for all the teams.
He played for everybody.
Kevin Brown did play for the Orioles.
Perfect. That makes our analysis even better, that we thought it was former Orioles great Kevin Brown.
There you go. Well, he only played one season.
All right, whatever. But you know, it's like, you know, Dennis Eckersley was the Red Sox broadcaster. And, you know, like, I thought it was kind of like that.
Yes.
Where sometimes Dennis Eckersley's gotten a little trouble for saying
Keith
certain
Hernandez.
Things. Keith Hernandez always gets in trouble for saying stuff about the Mets. So, yeah, I thought it was that, not the play-by-play guy.
God, he would have been fired immediately by the Orioles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Keith Hernandez?
Oh, forget it.
So, but yeah, maybe that's a dumb, because we didn't know they're.
No, I think we're smart.
We didn't know there were two Kevin Browns in the world. I mean, what are the odds?
No, and that's what I was saying. I usually have a more inside knowledge of who's who in the business, and I didn't know who he was. I mean, he does ESPN work, and I didn't know who he was. But you know what? I've gotten to an age where I'll throw a game on, and it'll be like, hi, everybody, and welcome to East Carolina as the Pirates of East Carolina take on Savannah State. I'm Joe Simpkins, and I have no idea who that is. Right? I don't know who that is. It's just another voice on my television, and I can't keep up with all of them. But one of 32 radio television play-by-play guys in Major League Baseball? Yeah, I should have known who he was. But I didn't.
Yeah,
but now he's got his job back.
He's got his job back. He
seems like a young kid,
again.
Probably in his early 30s. Been doing it for a while. It's a good, sweet gig to get.
But I do. I think, I mean, if somebody calls.
Yeah.
If a network calls, I got to imagine he's gone.
I got to tell you, man, When I remember when I was young, how hard those jobs were to get, those play-by-play jobs in baseball, because every baseball announcer was like in their 60s and 70s.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And they were going to keep that job until they died, until they're 85. And so you still had 15, 20 years to wait to get those jobs. I remember a friend of mine got a gig. He's in his 40s. He's still in Major League Baseball now. It took him forever to get to knock on that door and have that door open for him. Sometimes you get lucky and you're in the right business and right connections and you're 29, 30 years old getting a Major League Baseball announcing gig. And sometimes you wait till you're 45 years old to get one. So good for him. He could have that job forever if he wants it. But right now I'd be on the phone with my agent going, get me the hell out of Baltimore.
Yep.
I'm not doing this anymore.
I want to be able to praise this team without being suspended.
Yeah. Like, does he have to go like, and here's the pitch. And called strike three, but still was an awesome at-bat for Joe Sims. He was great, though. I mean, the way he swung, he really showed promise. He's the kind of ball player that Baltimore is going to want for years to come as he heads back to the dugout, the second out of the third inning. Is that what he's going to have to do from now on?
I probably.
Right?
That ball
ground
was
ball to,
that yeah. ball was called foul, but, you know, really, that yeah. line is a little off, so it should have been
exactly.
a fair ball.
Ground ball to short. Oh, he throws it over the first baseman's heads, but you and I would have done the same thing given the sunlight in his eyes. Nobody should be expected to throw it accurately from shortstop with the blazing sun here in Baltimore. But a good sun, because it's always sunny in Baltimore. I'd be petrified every day, every single day. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. That is the good, the bad, and the dumb.